We believe in fewer well-planned visits. We believe in trying to, if possible, do all the dentistry in one visit. It's more consumer-driven for the patient. It's more profitable for us. Everybody wins.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
So super pumped to be with you today. Gonna rock it out here. All right, so what we're gonna talk about today, I think this will be a good episode. This is top of mind for me because we just hired a new associate doctor. So that'll get us back up to six doctors. And, you know, it's interesting kind of the process that you go through when you hire an associate. And so I want this episode to be really directed in two components. One is a little bit of like, how do we onboard an associate to be successful? And number two is, you know, what it takes, I think, or what the mentality should be for the doctor and the associate as they come in to, you know, ultimately trying to build a successful relationship in the practice. So that's kind of the game plan for today. Before we get started, a little bit about 3D Dentists. You know, that's who sponsors the podcast, aka me. So we're excited about that. We have to talk about things. The course I wanted to talk about today is 3D treatment planning. It kind of ties into this associate thing in that one of the best courses we offer, I think, is our 3D treatment planning course. It's our take on one of these fundamental courses like a Spear, Panky, Coice, et cetera, and that we've taken a lot of the information that we've learned through our careers and through our education, both in CE and what we teach, and we've really consolidated that into a program that is practical and implementable. So think about a program where you start to learn how to see the dentistry more, how to look at where the teeth go in the face, how to use digital technology to treatment plan and close more comprehensive dentistry. So it's our take on like the really the fundamental course that everyone should be getting 2 or 3 years out of school, but taking it with a digital approach and a practical implementable. My challenge when I went to Coice, when I went to Spear, was I felt like that all these courses, even though there was a wealth of knowledge, ultimately what I saw people leave with was just confusion. And if I asked like, what did you actually implement and take from those courses? Frankly speaking, if you've taken one of those courses, maybe it's a little, but it's usually not as much as you'd like relative to the price tag. So check it out. 3D treatment planning. It's something we offer a couple times a year. And if you have associates, I think it's one of the best courses you can send them to because ultimately it's all about seeing the dentistry and treating patients in a comprehensive manner. What does onboarding look like, right? How do I set this up? Well, I think first and foremost, what we've got to do as the owner doctors is you've got to get clarity on what it is that you want. And even going back to the hiring process, I think this is important, is that a lot of times people will say, I want an associate, and then they don't necessarily paint the picture of like what that looks like. What type of dentistry do I want them to do? What's the point in this? Who's going to see new patients in hygiene? How are we going to grow their book of business? And then for the associate, it's kind of the same thing. I think a lot of times they don't necessarily have a good idea of what they want to do or don't want to do. I think it's good to get clear on what they're trying to do. Now, my ask to the associate doctor is always that you look at it twofold. Like when I look at someone that we hire and the guy that we just hired, I'm really excited about. I think that ultimately I told him, I said, one is you got to be able to check your ego at the door. Like we all have to do that on some level, meaning everybody that works here has to be like, hey, this is a team environment. We're trying to be patient-centric. We also want to learn and grow. You got to be willing to kind of check your ego and move into an environment when you're willing to grow. I think that's really important. Two is you got to be teachable. But now teachable, I think, is one of these things that like is challenging because teachable doesn't mean that I teach you everything. Teachable means that you understand areas where you want to improve and then maybe you seek education or you seek to follow me or learn from me. I think that's really important. I bring this up because, and I think this is a good thing for doctors and associates to listen to, is that my job, I think, is to make sure to set you up for success, to give you a safe place to fail, assuming that you've got the fundamental training to do something, and to help grow that training and cultivate that training through mentorship. But mentorship does not necessarily mean that I'm going to block my schedule or take time to teach you something that I maybe went and learned in CE and spent money and did things. There's just a fundamental difference there, because at the end of the day, I want my doctors to grow and learn and do things and aspire to do things, but I can't be the basis for their baseline education. Now, obviously, I'm a little bit unique because of 3D dentists and our ability to kind of offer education. But for most of you out there, you still got to produce, right? Like, you hiring an associate doesn't mean you're going to check up and not be there. You're busy. You're still trying to make loans, pay bake things or whatever it is that you're trying to do. And so the reality is that what mentorship should look like is I've gone and learned some baseline education. I'm coming back now and I want to get time with you to kind of walk through my plans. I'll help you go over those plans. You know, you can come watch me, and then I'm willing to step in and help you when you kind of get in maybe over your head. But that to me is really what mentorship looks like. And doctors, what I'll tell you, like owner doctors, is you got to create a safe place to fail. You really do. You know, I bragged a lot on Sarah of late because she's done just an unbelievable job for being, you know, 8 months out of school now. And one of the things that I think that she's done so well is that she really has been a team player, and that she came in and she didn't say, oh, I want to do X or what I want to do Y. She said, what does the practice need? And I was like, well, frankly speaking, we're referring out a lot of endo. Like, so if you really want to know where can you grow personally and get some production pretty early on, and where does the practice benefit? It's endo. So, you know, after having that conversation, she was like, that's something I want to pursue. So then we got her an endo course. Shout out to Kevin Fryer, teaches a great course at 3D Dentist. And then she did the training, and then through it, the end of last year, in 6 months, she did like 35 root canals. Now she's done over like almost 50 root canals. But all that's to say, the other day my assistant that I'm with, she gets a radio message. She's like, hey, can Dr. Sully come down to Dr. Sarah and Mallory's room? And I'm like, well, that's weird. And I'm like, what is it? And they're like, well, they need help with an endo access. And in my mind, I'm like, oh shit. Like, I haven't done an endo access in a minute. And so I go down there and I walk in. I'm like, hey, what's up? She's like, I'm just kind of getting stuck, going to this crown. I think I'm just kind of all in my head. Can you take a look at it and help me out? You know, sure enough, pop in there, no big deal, you know, but I kind of see what she's referencing. And you'll get, like, when you're going to a crown for an endo access, it can get confusing. I was able to fix it. I was able to get to the problem. I got access and got the file in there, and then, you know, let her take on from there. And there's so many things I think that are important about this. One is that how great is it that I had someone that was willing to check their ego and say, hey, before I perf this tooth, before I do something that's not repairable, I'm going to ask for help. Like, as an owner doctor, that makes me unbelievably willing to let you push the envelope. Because if I know that you have a boundary where you're willing to say, hey, I need your help, now I can push you, now I can give you way more leash. And then the part that I think that we've created a good culture of doing is that, you know, I kind of joked with her. I was like, hey, thanks for making me feel good about that this morning, like giving me kind of an easy one or whatever. And she was like, you know, she laughed it off, because to me, the last thing I ever want to do is create a space or an environment that makes it not safe to fail. And that is, and then I look at like my career, like I learned this from my dad, right? Like, it wasn't like I was this way. I remember very vividly, you know, we would have impacted wisdom teeth, and literally I would sit down and he would do number one and I would assist him. And then we'd switch. He would do 16, or then I would do 16 and he would assist me. And then we'd go down to the lower and do the same thing. And then there would be times where like I would get in and I'd be doing the whole case and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I am down here and I have no idea where I'm at. I broke it off roots. I'm probably in the nerve, who knows? But being able to go get him and him come in there and stop what he's doing, it's inconvenient for him, and to bail me out, give me some tips, but then not tell me, what were you thinking? Or blah, 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 blah. And so it's always going to be twofold, right? Like, if I did that over and over and over, I learn from those mistakes, that's a problem. Like, it has to be safe to fail, but then there also has to be boundaries, right? So, like, if I get into a situation where you're not letting me know or it's becoming a routine thing, like, that becomes a problem. But we need to create a culture where it is safe to fail, and mentorship in that regard creates that environment. Again, mentorship is a different word, but that's kind of what I view as good, solid mentorship. The other thing on onboarding that I want to go back to is creating a associate success path. So what an associate success path is trying to define clearly what in my practice, the SDP way would be. Now, Sullivan Dental Partners, so that's the SDP way. And so I want to make sure that I've laid out very clearly what it takes to be successful at SDP and what that path should look like. And typically what I see is that's like a 90-day path. It's like a 30, 60, 90 days. Now, as soon as we hired this guy, I basically started laying out some of some of the expectations for this success path. Number one, you got to get some CEREC training. Again, mentorship is you've got some level of basic training. I will help you troubleshoot. I will be there for you. I'm your guy. What I'm not going to do is I'm not going to sit you down there and go through basic level training, because in my opinion, there's more, not that this is an ego thing, but there's more important things that I should be doing. And my team should be doing. And so I would rather pay to get you some fundamentally good training, and then I will be there to mentor you through all that as you learn and grow on and move on to the next step. So some basic CEREC training is really important, because we are a CEREC office. If it is a single crown, it is done same day. End of story. That's how we operate. And so I need to set the expectation that that's the case. So CEREC training is a part of our essentially first 30 days. Like, you got to get that training. The other part of that, which you probably owner doctors is like, man, that's an investment. Absolutely. Like, I want to set, because ultimately their success is my success, right? Like, if they don't succeed, do I succeed in what I need to go do? And so, yes, that's an investment. The second one, which is also could be an investment, is sedation training. Part of the SDP way is we sedate our patients a lot. We believe in fewer well-planned visits. We believe in trying to, if possible, do all the dentistry in one visit. It's more consumer-driven for the patient. It's more profitable for us. Everybody wins. And so because of that, our patient base is trained, and we close a lot of dentistry utilizing sedation. Comments like, Mrs. Jones, we're so excited to get all this done. Typically what most patients do is get all this done, this dentistry done in one visit, and they get sedated so they can sleep through the whole process. Is that something that you would like to do? And so getting a fundamental foundation of sedation training is really, really important. So those are two areas where, on the training side, that's part of our success path, because we know that those are fundamentals to their success. I don't want to close a treatment with sedation and then realize I can't even give it to the doctor or let them do the dentistry because they don't offer sedation. Other things would be like, what are the core values and fundamentals in the way in which you practice? Like, for us, one of those is photos, right? Like, you got to understand that we're going to take photos on all our patients. We're going to have conversations about those photos. There's going to be specific communication scripts that we want to use. One of those I've already kind of touched on, that, like, if possible, would you like to get all your dentistry done in one visit? That seems so simple, but like, that is such a fundamental core value. And so I need to have these all listed out and written down, and then in some ways kind of a stepwise manner. Now, and of course, I'm not referencing everything, but of course there's stuff like get comfortable with open dental, understand how to create a lab script, how to submit a prescription to a pharmacy. All these things that are kind of a lot of times the things that you took for granted, but these are the things that are ultimately going to allow them to be successful that we haven't really put on paper. Now, an aside would be, we have these for essentially every position. We have a hygiene success path, an assistant success path, a treatment coordinator success path. And yes, I have all these documents. These are something that is a part of our mastermind programs, that when you're a part of those programs, you get access to all these documents. That's not because I don't want to give them to everybody. It's because it's kind of like I'm thinking of like two different quotes. One's a Spider-Man quote: with great power comes great responsibility. Meaning when you have this kind of information, if it's in the wrong hands, it may not be used appropriately. So part of the reason I'm guarded in giving out like everything like that just cause is because if it's not utilized appropriately, it could have a negative impact. And I don't want that to happen. So understanding our core values, our fundamentals, coming through the Mastermind program, that kind of is like the gateway to making all that stuff work. That's just a little bit of an aside on that. So our success paths are really important to the integration of our team members into the practice. The next thing that I'll talk about, and this goes back to that, is an episode that I did called Feed Associates First. And this goes back to really kind of the core fundamentals of, I want to start to outline what their menu looks like. And whenever I bring on a new associate doctor, to me, that's a time for everybody to evaluate their menus. Now, for most of you, this may be just you're a doctor and you're like, I kind of think I'm ready for an associate. What the heck does that mean? Well, it means that I'm going to evaluate my menu. And what I mean by that is all the procedures that you offer. And it's probably another episode for another day, but I'm continuing to see that those of us that have really big menus, our productions are held back because they're too big. We offer too many services. And so in order to take the next step to doing more of what we love to do and be more productive, we've got to start taking things off of our menu. You can't be everything to everybody. You can't be everything to everybody. You can't go to Taco Bell and get a cheeseburger. You can't go to Burger King and get a taco. At some point, people find out what it is that they're good at, and then they stick in that niche. Unless you're Cheesecake Factory, but like I could make an argument that like it's kind of all mediocre because they offer everything. And so I was that super GP. Don't hear me wrong. I was that. I think that's how you build the book of business. But at some point, you've got to transition that into the next doctor. And so whenever we have an associate comes in, that's an opportunity for what should happen, in my opinion, is that we start to cut down the menu. You start to take off certain procedures from your menu in that process. The next thing is we want to evaluate their menu. Because ideally what you're going to do is you're going to take things off your menu that they have on their menu. And that's how we start to be able to feed things to the associate. Now, let me be clear. That doesn't mean I just wipe away a procedure specifically. That could be that maybe I take away certain amounts of the procedure. Now I limit the items on the menu. Does this make sense to everybody? So like I'm not necessarily getting rid of fillings. That's getting it off the menu. I'm going to limit the amount that I serve on a daily basis. Once the amount of fillings have been served, I can't serve them anymore from my menu. You can go next door to that guy's menu and he'll serve you fillings, but mine is full. So then naturally, this kind of piggybacks off last week's episode on the scheduling side of things, is that I'm prioritizing certain things. And sometimes prioritizing means that I prioritize not to do certain things. So whenever we onboard this new doctor, what we'll do is we'll look at our other associates' menus and we'll say, are we at a point where we should start to limit or adjust their menus to allow them to be more successful and to set up the new associate for success? Because at the end of the day, if everybody does everything and everybody does the same amount, that's a little bit of a recipe for disaster. And look, if you're the doctor that's name on the building, I mean, like, you know, think about this. We got two Sullivan dentists that have been here for, you know, 30 years or whatever. Like it's the Sullivan Dental Partners. If me and my dad continue to offer every service at just whenever the patient wanted, like whenever they wanted to get it done, our associate schedules would almost never get filled. Most people are going to prioritize that, like who they think, like if you give me the option, I'd rather have him. He's been doing it for 30 years. His name's on the building. Well, if I can say, totally understand that. Unfortunately, Dr. Rick doesn't offer that service. That's not on his menu. Then they're forced to go to that new person. So that's kind of the way that we set up our menus in our offices to be successful in prioritizing those around us. So recapping, a couple things. Check your ego at the door. That's for both parties. Be teachable. Understand what mentorship means. Mentorship means coming with a fundamental understanding of something and then allowing that to flourish and blossom. It doesn't mean I have no idea what an implant is, but hey, can you teach me how to do implants? That's not mentorship. Let's have associate success paths. Let's define what the SDP way is in your practice. Not only does it go that for education, that also goes for materials. Like, you don't get to come in here and decide, oh, I want to use that composite or that cement. Like, that's defined by the SDP way. Now, what that doesn't mean is I'm not open to having conversations and changing. Like, if our newest associate comes in and says, hey, I had this product that I really loved. It was great. I had great results of it. Have y'all ever used it? I would be like, hey, let's check it out. That's checking my ego, right? That, like, someone who's maybe not as done as much or not been in dentistry as long could be willing to show me something that I don't know. So I'm not opposed to changing, but we will have a defined SDP way. And so that may come in and then change something. But I think that we've got to be better about defining what it is that the way is that you practice. If you do these things, I think that you're halfway there to already having a really good relationship and successful associationship, successful having one and being there. Yeah, so I hope this is helpful. If you enjoy the episode, I've been getting lots of good feedback. Please keep that coming. Leave me a 5-star review on iTunes, please. Try to get my reviews up. Send me a DM if you want some content that you want to talk about. Everybody work smarter, not harder. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.